It's good to know that God can reveal stuff to us no matter how long we've been saved and no matter how far in our journey we think we've gone, that there's still a lot to learn. A lot to learn about God and also a lot to learn about ourselves. And that's what it's exciting about the relationship that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a relationship that is ever evolving and growing and going deeper and deeper into the things of God and how we can experience Him in a lot deeper ways. So I encourage you, don't be afraid of that journey. You know, I know in the years of ministry, over 20-some years, 25 maybe, I don't know, of ministry, I've watched people, and some, you know, when they get to a certain spot, they stop, they pull back, they quit, they don't want to go any deeper. And I just want to encourage you, no matter where you feel God has led you in your journey with Him, when you come to a spot in the road or a bump in the road, you know, don't stop. Just keep going and letting God do His work in our lives. Amen? Amen. All right, what we're going to look at today is how moms make a difference. Moms make a difference. I don't know about you, but my mom has made a difference in my life. And I just can't really express all the different things that she's done for me and the things that I've learned from her over time. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to honor the women in our church. You know, whether you've had children of your own or just been an influence on the lives of young people around you, you know, your life has made a difference. And sometimes, you know, it's easy for us to forget, you know, the impact that we have on other people. Now, I don't believe life should be measured by what we keep, but really by what we give away. And, you know, I just want to thank the women today for your love, your wisdom, and your understanding that you've given to each of our lives. A couple passages I want to look at today. I'm going to be talking about Timothy a little bit. The first one's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, and it's talking about his mom and his grandma. We got some moms and grandmas here today. It says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure it is in you as well." Then a little later in the book, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, it says, "You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and from that childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus alone." So here we see how two ladies made an impact on somebody who was mentioned in the Bible in a big way, Timothy. Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for your stirring of the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. Lord, I thank you so much for the anointing to be here. Lord, to enable me, give me empowerment that I need. And also, Lord, just to break down any barriers or hindrances that is in our life from receiving. Satan, I bind you from trying to steal the word out of our hearts in any way, shape, or form. And Lord, I just thank you for all these things we do, and we do it for your glory and not our own. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I don't know about you. I ran across an illustration the other day, which I thought was kind of good. I want to read it with you. And it's about what my mother taught me, and I think some of you can probably relate. You know, my mom taught me about religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed me, "You better pray, the stain will come out of the carpet." So she taught me how to pray. Maybe your mom did too, I don't know. My mother taught me logic from her decisive words, which was, "Because I said so, that's why." Has anybody, mom, ever told them that one? Yeah. My mom taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. Never did understand that one. But I think we've all heard that a time or two. Matter of fact, never mind. My mother taught me irony. She says, "Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about." That's a good one. Taught me stamina. You sit there till you eat your spinach and it's all finished. Yeah, I've never did it with spinach, but other things. Taught me about weather. It looks like a tornado hit this room. Taught me about the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Has anybody ever had tough love like that? I don't want to tell the story on my mom about that one, but anyway. Behavior modification, stop acting like your father. Yeah, that's a good one, I guess. I don't know. And talking about envy, there are millions of less fortunate children in this world that don't have a wonderful mom like you did. And maybe they did that, I don't know. But all these things, I know we laugh a little bit, but, you know, moms do say some wild things. And I think sometimes we drive them to say some wild things. But we're going to look today about the first point is mothers of influence. You know, mothers of influence. I believe mothers have probably, especially in the early years, the greatest influence over a child of anybody else. And I don't think we ought to take that duty lightly. You know, I don't believe it takes a village to raise a kid. It takes a godly parent. And I commend you all here today because you're godly parents. You're here today and you see the need and the interest and the importance of getting a kid in church and wanting them to know about the things of God. A little bit about Timothy's mother. She was a converted Jew, but her father was a Greek. In the city they were in, the Jews maybe weren't that numerous, so maybe there weren't that many prospects to pick from getting married, so they had to marry out of the faith, which I don't encourage all the time, but sometimes those things are necessary. You know, 1 Corinthians 7:14 says that one believing person can sanctify a family, and maybe you're here today and your husband is not saved, or maybe your wife isn't. I want to encourage you that one person can make a difference. You know, you can have that influence because through your relationship with Jesus Christ, it can have an impact on your family, even though the other person may not be in total agreement. But a disclaimer, if you're shopping for a mate, marry in the faith. I can't stress that enough. Marry a Christian. Marry somebody that wants to serve God and follow God with their heart. Because it's hard, and in the long run, even though this is a benefit to have one person, I believe two are better. It's easier to do. You know, the benefits of children getting a Christian education is very important. I believe you can't even hardly measure it. You know, I believe the world has such an influence, and then when the kids are young, that we can impart a world view or a way of thinking and looking at life and get that instilled in them before they go out into an ugly world, the importance of giving that fresh step, that fresh start, something to give them to have a foundation that they can stand from. Something to give them a pair of glasses by which they can look through and measure the world around them. So the importance that mothers make, especially in the formative years, you can't measure that because it carries on and it will even carry on through all eternity. All eternity. That's how important it is that we as parents and especially mothers be able to walk, you know, in the things of God. You know, my testimony a little bit, because I wanted to share a couple points. I can remember two occasions vividly when I was a little feller that, you know, all of a sudden maybe fear come upon me. I remember one, I don't like telling this totally, but me and my sister were taking a bath. We were young back then. And for some reason, not the one that lives here, but the one who lives in Kansas. And we were 2 years apart. And we were in there, and somehow we must have got to talking. And for whatever reason, we started talking about death and being afraid to die. Just normal bathtub talk, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, we were in there, and all of a sudden, we were kind of carrying on a little bit. And I remember my mom coming in and telling us about heaven and how that brought such peace to my heart. You know, here a little feller and his sister was this, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, death and dying and all that stuff that goes into it, that scares a kid sometimes. But I remember my mom coming in and telling me, you know, about what heaven is and all that. It just brought a lot of peace. And then the second occasion, there was many, but these two really stick out to me the strongest, was my great-grandmother, and that was my dad's grandma. And she babysat me. She was the only one that would take me. They had to separate me and my sister. Evidently, we weren't as friendly after the bath. So the same babysitter couldn't watch us because we just fought like cats and dogs. But anyway, I digress. We were up there and she was talking, and evidently I must have had something go through my head, and I was talking about heaven and dying and, you know, my great grandma. And, you know, I never knew her till she's in her 70s. She always had gray hair when I knew her, and she lived to be 100. But, you know, she was probably in her, you know, late 70s, early 80s when I asked these questions. And I remember her telling me how she went forward at a tent meeting, at a revival, and she gave her heart to Jesus. And she talked about heaven. And she told me what that's like. So there's my mom and my great-grandma had an influence on me, and now I'm a minister. You know? So they maybe didn't know the influence they were peddling at that day, because it did make an impact on me. And it changed my life. And at a later day, when I really surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, I like to think that God started to build on that foundation that I had at an early age, where I had a concept about a God that loved me and could go to heaven. Even though I got it all mixed up in my teenage years, which I ain't gonna lie to you, I served, you know, I probably would have been said, many people thought I served the devil. You know, I didn't pray to the devil, but I acted like one. But I had that foundation that when I knew that nothing in this world could mean anything, that the impartation that my mom and my great-grandma made in my life, and my mom's mom also did things too. She was a very devout Christian, and just how that made a difference. So what I feel from that is that seed that is sown will eventually be fruit that is shown. So we don't really know what kind of benefits are going to come up to later on, because when you plant something in somebody's life, it may not come up for a while, but the fruit will come. And we need to look to that fruit and how important that's going to be. So that connection between a mother and grandmother, you know, gives excellent opportunity, like I mentioned. Now I want to speak especially to you grandmas today. We got a few here. You know, maybe it ain't right, but usually a kid will mouth off to their mom, but not too many kids mouth off to their grandmas that I know about, at least and live to tell about it. Right? I mean, you can get away sometimes with mouthing your mom. Sometimes, but not for long. But you mouth off to grandma, you're going to have a serious situation start to manifest in your life. So I believe that grandmas kind of can, you know, have a little more influence sometimes, because really they have a lot of experience. You know, they practiced on their kid, right? Made all the mistakes and got them out of their system and worked the bugs out. And now a grandma just gives pearls of wisdom to their kids, their grandkids, right? Just pearls of wisdom. They ciphered through all that other stuff that's not necessary, and they just give them the good stuff. And hopefully the kids will pay attention. I remember a story when I was out in Denver. An evangelist came to town, and he was quite a preacher. And anyway, he come there and he told me how his grandma made an influence on his life. So evidently, she used to babysit them too. And come prayer time every day, grandma taught them how to pray. They would go in there and they would all get on their knees, and grandma would put one knee on his pant leg and the other knee on his sister's dress. And they didn't get up until grandma's done praying. So they had two choices. They could sit there and twiddle their thumbs, or they could pray and learn something. They chose the wisest part. They chose to, if they're there, you might as well get the good out of it, right? Learned to pray, and he ended up being a mighty man of God. And I believe a lot of that had to do with his grandma, you know, teaching him how to pray. So all these things, you know, are so important. And that's why I want us to always remember that as we invest in our children, I think we always need to look at it. Are we investing in our kids' future? Are we investing in their eternity? And you need both, but I don't think we should ever neglect the eternal. It's never good to forsake the teaching of Jesus Christ in lives and the importance and the impact that's going to make. Because their worldview, and I say that, and what I mean by a worldview is that it's a system of way of thinking of how you interpret the world around you. And interpreting the world through the eyes of Jesus Christ, as we understand His Word, is just very important. So I think we need to think about eternal legacy. The next point I want to share is talking about a sincere faith and how important it is. The word sincere is talking about one without hypocrisy. One without hypocrisy. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been told a time or two in my life, don't do as I do as I say. You know, unfortunately, I did pay attention on some of that sometimes. But I don't believe as a parent, you know, we should have a lifestyle that lines up differently from what we tell our kids to do. And it's important that we ask that, you know, God will give us the strength and he's going to give us the grace and the enablement that we need to be able to accomplish that. Now, you know, faith that shows, to me, is more important than just blows off at the mouth and just talks about it. I've witnessed both in my life and in ministry and different things. And sincere faith is not to be put on a pedestal, but it's supposed to be lived out and making a difference. And that's one thing that I see, especially in a lot of women's lives, is the fact of their compassion and their integrity that they have in wanting to make that difference. See, Timothy, I don't know about you, but kids watch us. They watch what we're doing. They want to be like us, especially in the younger years. High school, yeah, it could go either way, right? I mean, they got to figure it out for themselves. But let's say the importance of getting it early, at least to have something they can come back to and something to compare to. You know, I feel sorry, if not angry, at parents who do not get their kids a Christian education, especially those who had the benefit of being raised in a church as a child themselves. That's a crying shame. That they don't see the importance of getting their kids in church and also teaching it at home. But that's another message. I'm going to do at a later date. So what happened with Timothy is that these ladies, now a lot of the education would happen at temple, but their dad was a Greek. His dad was a Greek. And so he wasn't part of the Christian faith. And maybe he got saved later, don't know the situation. Bible doesn't really explain that. Okay, so the ladies, they took it upon themselves to really share a lot of the scriptures and to be able to impart that to Timothy's life at a young age. Share with him, because they were converted themselves to Christianity and following Jesus Christ. They left Judaism and started to follow Christ. And the little Timothy would watch them. So evidently what we see from this passage is that they practice Christianity at home. Now, I do believe, and I think it's a true statement, that we need to practice it every day and not just on Sunday. You know, I remember a story, you know, growing up as a kid, there was a statement my dad made. He said, you know, some people go to church on Sunday and stab you in the back on Monday. And that may not be true all the time, but there's a lot of truth to that. The importance of being able to have that sincere faith, that we live it out into the world around us, because those little eyes are watching. And if we can make it work in our life, there's more of an app they're going to make it work in their life. So it has to be something that we endeavor to do. And I believe probably growing up, he probably seen the contrast. I don't know if any of you studied Greek mythology and some of the stories around that, but I'm sure the idea of a living God who loved you that died for your sins was a lot more appealing than some of them other Greek things that they were talking about. So that was a good thing. The last thing I want to look at today is nurturing, and this is a little out of my wheelhouse, so I'm going to do the best I can. The word nurture says, care for and encourage growth and development, train or educate. And as a pastor, I do that too a little bit. God has given me a special grace for that. Some of you may not recognize it yet, but it is in there, praise God. You know, I just don't do tough love. I can give hugs. But, you know, my counseling sessions are usually once. I fix them the first time. I don't get paid by the hour like the therapists do. So I just try to fix you quick, you know. Sometimes that's good or bad, I don't know. Not everybody can handle that. But one thing I see about mothers, they're such a stable influence in a child's life. And it just amazes me. I mean, watching my wife as we raised our kids, she did it a lot different than I did. Her way was probably better in a lot of ways. Oh, she's in here. She heard me say that. You know. At the time, I wouldn't admit it. You know, but what it means to be nurtured. Everybody needs to be nurtured. We all do, even today. We need nurturing in our life. We need to have that place of security. And you know, maybe you were raised by wolves. I don't know. And you never got the nurture. Not everybody gets the nurture they want sometimes growing up, right? But that's no excuse to not try to find out what that's about and what that means. Because I believe God wants to make us whole. And I believe we need that in our life. However, we need to find that and get that. See, who do kids run to when they usually get hurt? As a rule, it's mom. I mean, maybe dad in a pinch, if mom's 100 miles away or something. But for the most part, they want to come to mom. Why? Because mom's going to wrap their arms around them, going to love on them, going to tell them it's going to be okay, and share all these things. Now, you know, this is where I get left in the dust. And I'll be honest, when the kids were little, I was more sympathetic. But as I got older, I kind of felt we need to step our game up a little bit, which I didn't nurture as much. You know, I was kind of the guy that, you know, told them to suck it up, you know, rub a little dirt on it, cry a river, build a bridge, and get over it, you know. That was my parenting back in the day. I wasn't perfect. I ain't going to say I was, you know. And I didn't do that when they were little, but when they were got bigger, that's what I did. But my wife, hello, she always nurtures. It's just a gift. Now, I'm not saying men can't, but I do know that for whatever reason, when God separated Adam and Eve, I believe women, most of them got the nurturing gene. And we need that in our life, and that's why we need women in our life. And it's so important that we honor them today for giving that part of them into our lives and into our relationship, because through that, they help to make us whole. And that's important. Because without that, you would be me. And Lord knows we don't want that, right? See, a woman, I think with the nurturing, and it's something about it, and men can do this too, but what I watched is that when they're with a child, they can make that child feel that they're the most important thing at that moment. And that's a gift. Because their attention isn't divided. And they just pour all that love into that one person at that one moment. And that makes you feel special. When, you know, have you ever been with somebody and it seemed like they didn't want to be with you? They were distracted and they were just going through the motions. Nurturing doesn't do that. Nurturing makes you feel important. And that's a powerful thing. And maybe you aren't as good at that. You can learn. I believe God can help us. And, you know, we're all changing and it's important. You know, when we do that, I want to say that kids are an investment in our future. And so that's why it's so important we try to give them that start that they need in life. In closing, I just want to say to the moms, I want to thank moms for working so hard and then coming home exhausted, and then they take care of us. Thanks for getting up in the night and taking care of us when we're sick, when dad's pretending to be asleep. Did I say that out loud? Thanks for being on our side when it seemed like everybody else was against us. And I know that thanks isn't enough, so with that, I just want to say, may God richly bless you beyond all you could ever ask or think. God bless the moms. Amen. Let's pray.